Pandit Ramiji, regarding this same-sex marriage postal survey, regarding the marriage equality bill, what is the stand of the Australian Council of Hindu Clergy?
Well, our stand is based on the fact that this is a civil matter and it has got nothing to do with religion. The matter is whether two people of the same sex can have the same equality in terms of their relationship before the civil law. So it's got nothing to do with religion, and we are not in a position to criticize the civil law in any way. And this is a majority non-Hindu country. Mm-hmm. And the other fact is that it is 80% of marriages in Australia are conducted by civil celebrants with no reference whatsoever to religion. Therefore, we endorse whatever the population of Australia wishes to be done, the majority, because it's a democracy, and we support the democracy. When it comes to religious marriages as samskaras, that means that they are sacraments, our priests will continue to perform marriages only between men and women as per Dharma Shastra.
Okay, that means you are not opposed to this idea of same-sex marriage. But when it comes to religious marriage ceremonies, it could be only between man and woman.
Correct. But having said that, already in Nepal, in Bali, and in places in South India, Hindu priests are doing commitment ceremonies. And also in America, a few priests have done that. And so commitment ceremonies is just a validation. It's a commitment ceremony. But we cannot call it as a vivaha, as a marriage sacrament. We can call it as a commitment ceremony. And we can do it in a religious manner. There's no objection to that. But again, that's up to the individual priest. And being mostly conservative, I doubt that many of them will consent to do it. But in essence, there are priests that do it. And I myself are quite happy to do a commitment ceremony.
Okay, so what's restricting you from performing a marriage ceremony or that vivaha ceremony between a man and a man or a woman and a woman?
Because technically speaking, the Dharma Shastra says that the mantras that are used, the specific mantras that are used in a marriage ceremony can only be used for a marriage between a heterosexual male and a heterosexual female. So there's no provision in the prayogas to use it for a same-sex couple. Having said that, in a commitment ceremony, we use non-Vedic mantras. We use what we call Puranic shlokas. And that is just a commitment. They are binding themselves in a friendship to each other. So that can be ratified in a religious manner.
Okay.
See, the other thing is that a lot of people, a lot of Hindus are not taking into account that according to Dharma Shastra, if a person is a Mangalik, we can marry them to a banana tree or we can marry them to a pot, a clay pot.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, the banana... So what it basically means, for your listeners' interest, that if in a horoscope it is predicted that that a person will have two marriages, so what they do to avoid two marriages, the first marriage will be done to a banana tree or to a clay pot. This is a formal marriage ceremony to a tree. Then afterwards, the tree will be cut down, and that will be the end of the first marriage, and then they can have a second marriage. So my question to my fellow priests who are objecting is, if we can marry a person to a banana tree in a valid marriage ceremony, how can we not perform a commitment ceremony between two people who love each other and wish to live together in a formal commitment? The point here is that the marriage between a Mangalik and the banana tree is considered as a valid marriage. It's a serious marriage. It's not just a charade. It's considered as a valid marriage.
So it's not considered as a commitment. It's considered as a marriage itself.
Yeah, to the banana tree, yes, correct.
Then why can't you apply the same rule to same-sex marriage also? If the law is passed and same-sex marriage is legalized in Australia, suppose a couple comes to a Hindu priest and want to get married as per the Hindu laws or the Hindu tradition, not as a commitment, but as a marriage, the Vivaha ceremony itself. Why can't you apply the same rules to that also?
Because it's quite a complex issue, and I don't think that we're going to have enough time in the interview to describe it. But according to the Dharma Shastra, there are 16 samskara, sacraments, that a person can undergo. And these 16 sacraments are centered around the family and praja, so procreation. So these 16 sacraments are units which describe and circumscribe the life of an individual within the family unit. So there is no provision for samskaras to two people of the same sex. So I'm just talking about the Dharma Shastra.
Okay.
Now, having said that, in South India, they do not, many non-Brahmin castes do not have a Vivaha Samskara. They have what is called Sambandham. So a Sambandham is performed not even by the Brahmin priest. It's performed by the family elders or the panchayat or the caste elders. And this is an arrangement that is just thali katti. They just tie a thali, exchange garlands. And in Kerala, it is exactly just in front of the temple. They just, in front of the deity, they just exchange garlands and thali, and marriage is done. No mantras are recited, and it is seen as a valid marriage in the eyes of the community. So what I'm asking is that this is a non-Vedic marriage. So for people who are non-Brahmin, we can do sambandham. We do not have to use the formal marriage ritual. And in the same way, if two people of the same sex wish to express their love and have a commitment, they too can exchange garlands and hold hands and declare their love before the deity, and it's valid. Why not?
So just to understand that point again, if that marriage equality bill is passed in Australia, after that, Brahmin community cannot marry or they cannot have the same-sex marriage, but all other Hindu communities can have same-sex marriage as per the Hindu traditions itself.
Correct, absolutely. Like they've been doing in India for thousands of years. As you see, the thing is that in the Brahmin community, divorce is not permitted, according to the Dharma Shastra. I mean, nowadays people do get divorced, and it's becoming increasingly popular. But in the non-Brahmin community, there was always divorce. People divorce, widow, remarriage. It depends entirely on the community that you're talking about, because each and every community set their own standards. There was not one common standard throughout the Hindu society. Each and every single community was autonomous, and they decided the standard by which they would get married, who would get married, when, how, and if divorce, whether there could be a remarriage of widows. So there's never been a single standard. So why should we, in Australia, try and impose a Brahminical standard upon the population, which is, we're about not even 1% of the population. Why should we impose our values on 99% of the population?
Okay, here let me ask you, do we need that caste-based division in this issue also, that Brahminical, non-Brahminical division in this matter also?
We need this matter when it, this is one of the reasons why the Labour Party and the Greens were opposing this ballots, because they said that asking this question is going to cause division in the community. That's why they said it's up to the parliament, as our elected leaders, for them to make the decision. And through this ballot, already we're seeing that huge divisions in the community. Parents are, fighting with their children. Parents are fighting with each other. The priests are getting now involved in this. Priests are arguing with this. So there's a huge division in this community because of this issue. But when it comes to actual, arguments, people from the, in most cases from the Brahminical community, are putting forward this argument about Vivaha Samskara. They are worried that they are going to be obliged to perform a Vivaha, like a sacrament. And this is simply not correct. It doesn't work like that because, again, within the Hindu community, there's no uniformity. I mean, even here in Australia, I've performed, proper full-on Brahminical marriages. I've also done Nair marriages, that just the Thali Katti and, Mala Matri. I've done marriages like that as well. So what I'm saying is that this divide comes in because there is no uniformity. And so one set of rules will apply to one set of people and another set of rules to another set of people.
Okay, so would you ask the Hindu believers in Australia, the Hindu community in Australia, to vote yes in this campaign for, in this postal survey?
I personally would definitely ask them to support it from a number of reasons. First of all, we are all migrant communities here. We, as a migrant community, expect equality before the law. How can we expect equality for ourselves and deny it for another marginalized community? Is that not hypocrisy? So what, as migrants, we are integrating into the society, and we should support others in their pursuit of happiness, in their pursuit of equality, in their pursuit of their rights in front of the civil law. That is my position and position of most of my clergy members.
I would like to ask you one more point. I have talked to some other religious leaders, leaders from other religious communities, other people who are opposing this idea of same-sex marriage. The main concern they are raising is, if a same-sex couple are getting married, they can't have children, but they will be getting the rights to adopt children. So such adopted kids, they won't be getting the love from their father and mother that the normal children would otherwise get. And it's a cruelty towards them by the society. That's what they're concerned about. Isn't it a valid point?
Well, first of all, no, it's not valid, because all the studies, there have been same-sex couples have been adopting and raising children in San Francisco, in England, in America now for more than 2 decades. None of the studies show that there is any deleterious effect on those children. That's one thing. The other thing is that in Australia, according to the last census, 21% of families are single-parent families. 21% of families in Australia are single families. That means either single mom or single dad. And 80% of those children are living in poverty. Now, if you use this argument, not you, but if we use this argument, oh, it's deleterious to the children, what are you going to say to that that quarter of the population that is single mothers? Are we saying that their raising is wrong, that they are raising their children incorrectly, that their children are deprived of love? Can we say that to them? Are you prepared to say that to them, that your parenting is invalid?
Thank you, Pandit Ramiji, for your time.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.